And if you can turn with me to the 27th Psalm, the Psalm that we read at the beginning of the service, Psalm 27, and looking specifically at verse 14. This is probably my favourite Psalm. It's scattered throughout it. It's got amazing verses. Each one of them you could speak about for a short while, and there'd be so much we can learn from it. But looking at verse 14, which says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And waiting is something that is quite hard. We've obviously just had Christmas, and if you have Christmas with young children, not naming any names, but they are saying, "Can I have another present? Can I have another present?" And constantly you're having to say, wait a moment. And so wait is something that maybe you've heard quite a bit recently. Or if you're waiting for your car to be fixed, you might find it very difficult to wait for it. But that's something that is a skill that you have to wait for, and this is the key word that's in this verse of this psalm here: wait on the Lord. And it's something I want to focus on specifically, just that short phrase there. But looking throughout the psalm, and I've said about the psalm being one of my favourite, there's things that we can look at the whole way through, and it's important to look at the context of verses when you're looking in the Bible, because otherwise you can take it a completely different way. If you don't look at the context, then you might take this verse completely wrong, and you might miss what David's saying here completely. And so I just want to break down the psalm a little bit, have a look at a few verses here as well. Verse 1 to 3, it's looking at fear. David's talking about fear. And if you think of David, who's the writer here, it says a psalm of David. It might be quite interesting for you to think about when he talks about fear, what might be in his mind. Obviously, right from when he was young, he took on Goliath. And I'm sure there's something more fearful than any of us have ever faced before. But he took that on as a young boy. And then he went and he had to flee from Saul. That was obviously quite a struggle for him. Think of the story of where he had to hide in the cave, and Saul was in the same cave as him, and he cut off a bit of his garment, which later then he showed Saul that he could have killed him at that time. But he obviously had that fear which he battled with, and there was many battles which he went into as well throughout the book of Samuel. You can see the story of David and what he had to put up with. And so you can say when David's speaking here that this is a testimony of David. That he, when he's talking about fear and saying, "Of whom shall I fear?" In verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." When he's talking about light, if you think of a path that you're going along in light, it's making it clear for him. And when you're thinking of salvation, those examples which you just spoke about, David obviously here says that he's giving the glory to God here, saying that he is the salvation. And so we can say here as well, the Lord is our light and our salvation. Completely different circumstances to what David would have put up with, but God, we can say, is our light and our salvation here. And if you look into the other verses as well, we learned part of this, I remember, when I was younger. And so verse 3, "The host should encamp about against me. My heart shall not fear." We've looked at before and how many times God says, "Do not fear," in the Bible. It's 365, I believe. 365. 364, I can't remember which. But he says it consistently throughout. And so David here, when he's talking, it's like a testimony for him. Verse 4, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." It's an amazing thing which David's saying here, something we could spend a long while on. If you turn back just one page, you've got Psalm 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So even though David's desiring after something here, he knows the promise of God that he won't be left without anything that he needs and that he won't lack. And in verse 8, it says, "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." So therefore, if we look at verse 4 and it says the one thing that he'll seek after, and verse 8, it says, "Seek thy face, Lord, will I seek," then we can say that the one thing that he's desired after to seek is the Lord's face here. And so David, there's so many different links that we can see here. When David's talking about fears, when he's talking about the circumstance that he's gone through, we can see that the one thing that he's relying on is God. And what about verse 11 as well? "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Such an amazing verse, acknowledging that God has a superiority ahead of us. He knows the best way, and that God has a plan which is leading ahead. So there's lots that we can learn about here, but just looking in this verse 14, "Wait on the Lord." And it says it, of course, at the end of it as well, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." And so this isn't a one-off piece of advice. It's not something that David's just thought of at this moment. It's something that he's showed that he's done consistently throughout his life. And we might have things that we're waiting upon the Lord for, things that we're waiting for. Maybe it's something long-term that's going to affect us in the long term, such as a job. not jumping into the wrong job because we're rushing into it, but instead waiting for the Lord. Or maybe it's a place to move to where there's going to be a suitable church. That's something that's long term. Or maybe it's a short term thing that we're waiting on the Lord in a conversation, knowing the right thing to say. Maybe you've got an opportunity to speak the gospel to someone and knowing the right thing to say. But sometimes we just have to stop and think, what is the Lord giving us to say? And so there's short term and long term things that we have to wait for. But there's three things that I want to pick out about this verse, waiting on the Lord. Three things, and I want it to be an encouraging message rather than focusing on things that God hasn't done for us yet or difficult situations which we're coming across at the moment. More spinning that around and saying God is in control and leaving everything with him. And I think I've said it before, but I remember when I went to, with my best friend, I went to his prayer meetings. He would always end his prayers in the same way, and it stuck with me at the time. He always said, we bring all these things and leave them at Jesus' feet, the best place where they can be. And that really stuck with me, because if we take something to God and give it to God, and then we've just got to leave it there until we have it, and that is part of waiting. And so I just thought that was very relevant now. But one other thing, just before we look at those three points, which I just want to speak about, is that waiting on the Lord, it doesn't mean inactivity. It doesn't mean that we just stop and wait for the right answer, but instead that we need to bring it to him constantly with prayer. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Very easy verse to remember. Pray without ceasing. And so that is waiting on the Lord, constantly bringing it to him in prayer. And so I just want to wanted to remind us of that before we look at these three points. But the first point I wanted to speak about was waiting on the Lord is a humble thing. It's a humble act. Society tells us these days that anything that we can do, anything we want to do, we can do. When you go into an interview, it's quite difficult because you just have to constantly praise yourself and say what you can do and what you're good at. But it's a sign of humility, and it's something that when we wait on the Lord, we have to acknowledge is that that God is the only one that can help us in the situation, and it's something that we can't do. And so that's the complete opposite of society these days. And you see on the TV politicians criticizing each other. When I first spoke about this, I think it was just when Liz Truss became Prime Minister for a short period, and that she would have that argument with her competitors about what she could do that others couldn't do. But that's complete opposite to this. It says in Romans, the powers that be are ordained of God. But that's essentially what I'm saying is it's a humble act. It's saying that we can't do something rather than what we can do, what we can't do. And Proverbs speaks a lot about humility throughout the Bible, being humble. There's three things to point out again, another three here. Three things to point out from Proverbs. So Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly or the humble is wisdom. And so humbly waiting on the God is a wise decision. The world is constantly seeking for wisdom. What is the wisest thing to do? A lot of the time it's when I was at school, it's push go through college or you go through to a university course and then you progress through to your job. And you're constantly trying to expand your knowledge and that way, and that is the wisest thing you can do. But the Christian who waits on God makes the right decisions. He makes the wisest decisions. Another proverb, Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honour shall uphold the humble in spirit. So if we're humbly waiting on the Lord for the answer, it brings us happiness as well. It stops us from going low. The world is constantly seeking for happiness. How much money do you have? What can you spend it on? How can you enjoy life in this moment? Because you don't know what's going to be around the corner. And they think that being proud of yourself and not having this being humble can improve your mental health, can improve your happiness over time. But that's not the case. The Christian that waits upon the Lord for the answers is content, not just in the short term, but in the long term. It teaches us to be happy. And in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honour and life. I looked, struggling a bit to break this one down, but John Gill says this about humbly waiting on the Lord, bringing riches and being rich in it. It says, riches and honour and life, spiritual riches, the riches of grace and glory, honour with God and men now, and everlasting life in the world to come. And so what counts for a riches? What counts as riches for you? Know that the richest man on the world, Elon Musk, he has lots of stuff, but this year his wealth has dramatically decreased, and he might still be the richest man in the world, but it says later on in the Bible, for we brought nothing into this world and we're certain we can carry nothing out. And so those riches which he has are just pointless. There's nothing there. But humbly waiting on the Lord as a Christian and doing that humbly as a Christian doing it That brings true riches, which is talking, talks about here, spiritual riches. And there's a hymn that we sing sometimes, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And if you look in those verses, there's something in each one which we need him for, if we go humbly to him. If you look in verse 1, it says about needing peace, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. And so humbly going to God, knowing that we need that, we need peace from him. Verse 2 says about temptations, it says, temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. And so waiting upon the Lord, if we can do that humbly, then the temptations lose their power. In verse 3, it says about needing help with joy or pain. In verse 4, it says needing to know God's will. And in verse 5, it just summarizes it, I need thee every hour, most holy one. That's why we need him, because he's the most holy one. And so each verse in that hymn that we sing so often reminds us of why we need God. And if we can go, if we can say we need God, that's a humble way to do it. And there's a famous preacher called Hudson Taylor. I'm sure you know of him. He was scheduled to speak at a large church in Melbourne. And the moderator of the service introduced him as in eloquent and glowing terms. He said everyone and presented to who he was and what he'd accomplished in China, and then presented him as our illustrious guest. And Taylor just stood quietly for a moment and then opened his message by saying, dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master. Can we recognise of who we actually are in comparison to God? If we know God is our master, can we say that same thing as to what Hudson Taylor said then? It reminds me of that verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But then after that, it says a verse which maybe isn't quoted as much, but still very famous. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledging him humbly and knowing who it is that is in control of all of our, in control of our lives. And then if we can acknowledge him and look back, it gives us something to pray on. It gives us a testimony which we can look at. And so waiting on the Lord is a humble thing. And secondly, from that, from waiting on the Lord is a patient act. I've got another thing which I found, which is that a New England preacher called Philip Brooks was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, even he suffered some moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing around the floor like a caged lion. What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks? He asked. The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. And so it's something that is true, isn't it? Waiting on the Lord is a patient thing. Probably the most obvious thing to say about waiting is that you have to be patient, but it's actually one of the hardest things that we can do. And we know it's hard because if you look in Galatians, you look at the fruits of the Spirit, you've got the things which are the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy and peace. And one of them is patience. And we know that the things of the Spirit are hardest because they're the ones that the devil wants us to stop. The ones that are the easiest are the works of the flesh, the idolatry, revelings and so on. Those ones are much easier, but patience is a harder thing. And so waiting on the Lord, although it sounds easy, you just got to wait, it's something that can be hard to put into practice. And there was three answers to a prayer which I was taught when I was younger. And that was, yes, we see answers straight away. No, that it's not in God's will and we've got to accept that. Or not yet, we have to wait on the Lord. And these are the ones that we're looking at today. Maybe you've had answers for all of them. Yes, something's happened straight away. Maybe you've prayed about something. I remember when I was really low on petrol once and I got stuck in traffic and I could see the petrol station, but the traffic just wasn't moving. And I thought, I'm just going to run out few meters from the petrol station. I prayed about it. As soon as I stopped my prayer, the traffic started answering. And no, that's an answer from prayer from God, but it was answered straight away. Maybe there's things that you prayed about which are no, just a straight up no, that's not the right answer. Maybe it's a job that you had. I remember I really wanted a job once, which was selling I can't remember exactly what, windows I think it was, and they made it sound so attractive, and but it just wasn't the right job. And that was no, that was the wrong answer, the wrong job for me. Or sometimes there's things which you say not yet. You might think of Hannah. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5, Hannah wanted a child. Says unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. But it wasn't for the forever. It was just for the time at the moment. God was just saying not now. He wasn't saying no. And I wonder what prayers it is that you've been waiting for. Is it a prayer for a loved one maybe that hasn't yet come to Christ? Maybe it's for a job, maybe it's for something completely different, something that God is maybe just saying, he's not saying no, he's just saying not yet and in his own timing. But it wasn't because God didn't love Hannah that he didn't provide her with a son. It was just that it was in his own timing, and we see the amazing things that Samuel went on to do. There's another hymn that we sing sometimes. My times are in thy hands. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. And so that's exactly it, isn't it? Leaving patiently the things that we can't control, leaving them to God, whether they're good things and things that we want to happen for a good reason, or they're bad things that we're worried about, but leaving everything to God there. And as a church, the same thing that we can do, not just as an individual, but as a church, we pray often for encouragement and for growth to come from a church, which is, we don't, through the year, other than in summer, we don't really have many visitors. We've had the Monday Club, where it's, from what Anne says, been difficult recently, and thankfully God's sustained that still. But yeah, there's so many blessings which we can be thankful for, that we've waited on the Lord for. We've got church which has been here consistently, had meetings consistently for so many years. We've got a long-term pastor. We've had the baptismal pool open in the last few years. We've had a young people's meeting start. We've got a young people's camp. And so many blessings which we can say that we've waited on the Lord for, and looked to him for guidance. But waiting on the Lord patiently, it doesn't mean trying to find our own solution. It means just leaving it to God. And just one thought that came to me earlier when I was thinking about it was, if we're leaving something to God, can we do that without reading or praying? I don't think that we can. I don't think we can properly leave it to God without looking for his answer, because when we speak to God, we can see his answers. If we're not having that time with God, then we won't be able to see his answers. And so waiting for the Lord, it's a humble act, it's a patient act, but it's also a faithful act as well. There's two verses which can show that. It's always good to go back to the Bible and to reason the points. In Isaiah 64 and verse 4, it says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen. Neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so therefore we can see that waiting on the Lord is a is a faithful act. It's easy to do that when things are going well. You can wait and you can see that God has been working for you, and throughout the last few weeks or whatever you're experiencing. But when it's going hard, it's then a lot harder to wait on the Lord faithfully. Hebrews chapter 11 doesn't say by faith when it went well. It was talking about people who were in difficult situations. We're going to look at some in a few moments. You think of Noah, you think of the other people that are mentioned. There was times when they were struggling and there was things that were going on around them that weren't easy. And so waiting on the Lord is a faithful act, but it often comes in the hardest of times when it is a struggle. Do you ever think of a story of Gideon? He had an army of 32,000 people. He could have gone and taken on. He'd have still been outnumbered, but God said, no, that's too many. Anyone that was too scared to go, straight away they left. Anyone that bowed on their knees to drink, they had to go straight away. And so he took on an army of over 100,000 people with just 300 men. But he lost 99 hundredths of the people that came originally. He'd shortened that down to just 1/100th of what he had before. But Gideon was faithful. Our point of view may have been, well, if he only needed those 300 people, the extra ones would have just been more help. But that wasn't God's way. God had a plan for him, and Gideon was faithful towards God's plan. Maybe you think of the other people that are in there. In Hebrews chapter 11, you think of the story of Noah. There was no rain, but God said that there was going to be something. It says in Hebrews 11, as being warned of things not seen. And so they'd never seen the rain before. And Noah took 50 to 75 years to build the ark. That would have taken a lot of faith. I don't know how many people, if we were told something was going to happen and we'd spend 50 to 75 years of our life building something just for something that hadn't happened there before. They were going to build an ark because even though they hadn't seen the rain before. But it says in Matthew that they didn't know the suddenness of the destruction. It says they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So they didn't know of this suddenness that was going to happen. But Noah had to trust God faithfully and be ready for exactly what God had planned. And then you might think of Moses and the Israelites. I love this story. They've been stuck in Egypt for 430 years. You can think of how the story of how they've been captive in all that time must have been passed on throughout the generations. But then they'd been told that they could leave 10 times and 10 or 9 times they'd been stopped, and they were stuck by the side of a Red Sea. They couldn't see a way out. They had an army one side, hills the other, the Red Sea the other side, and And they could see no way out, but then Moses passed on this message from God. Fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And fear ye not, that's being faithful. That's exactly what we're looking here. Standing still, that's waiting. And so waiting is a faithful thing here. It says in Psalm 121, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. And so we can have faith that we waiting upon the Lord is the right thing, because we know that our God never slumbers nor sleeps. It says in one of the hymns, the passing days bring many cares. Fear not, I hear him say. And when my burden, my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. I'm sorry if I get confused. It's, I had a hymn number and it's from the Alton Broad hymn book. So that's why. But when those fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. That's being faithful, isn't it? When you pray about something, just leaving it with God doesn't mean that you still worry about it until the answer comes along. That's not faith. Faith is that as soon as you pray about it, the fears slip away. And we cannot see, wait and see what God is going to do if we're trying to find a backup solution all the time. What Moses says, he doesn't just say, fear ye not. He says, stand still and see. They may have been looking around trying to find other solutions, but that wasn't what Moses wanted them to do. Moses just wanted them to stand still and see what God had for them. And so don't take your eyes completely off. If you're waiting for something, don't take your eyes off what the solution is that God has for them. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And often we don't wait upon the Lord because we're worried about what might happen. We're thinking ahead of to what the problem might be. But waiting upon the Lord is just waiting. I remember being told that God only gives the grace for today. He doesn't give the grace for tomorrow. And so what are we faithfully waiting for? Maybe it is, as we said, a salvation for a loved one. Maybe that is something that we've prayed about consistently. We feel like God is just not answering those prayers in the way that we want. But we need to continually wait and continually pray about it, as we've said. Maybe, as I said before, it might be the right job. You might be wondering about what job you're going to do after you finish school, or what job you're going to go into. It might be something with your friends that you're praying about. Whatever you're praying about, we need to faithfully wait for it, as those examples did. And it's not, some people might say, I'm not Moses, and I'm not Noah, and I'm not David. I haven't been through these things, so how can I faithfully wait? But we would say it's not a faithful, pointless faith. We've got these promises in the Bible that teach us. We've got these people who have the same God. It says God the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's a promise that didn't just apply for people before. It applies for us now. All things work together for good to them that love God. And if you're not sure that God is in control and can't take control of these things, we can think about the features of God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. Nothing's out of his control or his power that he can shape our lives or get us through any situation. He's omnipresent. He's all present. He doesn't slumber or sleep, as we said. Nothing goes out of God's control. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, all-knowing. Nothing goes on, even when it's with the devil. You think of Job. Nothing could happen to Job until God had said that was okay. And he's omnibenevolent, all-giving. God's goodness never stops throughout. The four omnis, they remind us of the God that we have. But just to conclude, we've got this passage which we looked at here. Wait on the Lord. And that is the commandment to us. Or the instruction. But Isaiah, that passage that we looked at in Isaiah, gives us a reward. It says in Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so renewing their strength, waiting on the Lord isn't an easy thing. We might find it difficult. If it wasn't, then we wouldn't need our strength to be renewed. We wouldn't need new strength there. We think of Job and all the things that he went through, the family and the livestock that he lost. In the middle, as I said when I last spoke, I find it quite difficult to read the middle of Job because of all the things he was going through. But Job was obviously renewed as well. And it says here that if we wait upon the Lord, we shall have our strength renewed. And run and not be weary. When me and Nathan go jogging, we used to get really tired, but now we don't get tired as much. We don't feel like we have to stop. And running and not being weary, just going through. And that's what God says will happen if we wait upon the Lord. And there's a hymn that we sometimes sing in gospel hymns. It says, wait my soul upon the Lord, to his gracious promise flee, laying hold upon his word, as thy day, thy strength may be. If the sorrows of thy case seem peculiar still to thee, God has promised needful grace, as thy day, thy strength may be. Days of trial, days of grief, in succession thou mayest see, this is still thy sweet relief, as thy day, thy strength may be. Rock of ages, I'm secure, with thy promise full and free, faithful, positive and sure, as thy day thy strength may be. And so we can see here that there's three things that I feel it's important to know about when we're waiting on the Lord that it's a humble thing, how we feel about ourselves in comparison to God, our God. It's a faithful thing, as we've mentioned, and it's a patient thing. But there's just one thing that I wanted to say is, it's not, when we're saying about waiting on the Lord, it's not talking about salvation. And as I said, that looking at the context of the psalm, we can see this, but sometimes we can take a verse out of context, and if we don't look at the full story here, but if you're waiting for your salvation today, it's not what God's talking about here. I remember thinking about when I was, God was speaking to me, and just before I got baptized, that I was waiting to become good enough to have my sins forgiven. And that's not the case. It's not what God is saying, not what David and God through the writer here is saying. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, now is the day of salvation. It doesn't mean wait upon the Lord for salvation. It actually never says to wait for salvation. One verse here which says that, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. If we had to wait for salvation, then it would say, but it doesn't say wait for salvation, but wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord.